The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
So tonight and tomorrow night on TV3, a major documentary on Gerry Adams by Vincent Brown. It's called War, Peace and Politics. And Vincent Brown joins us now. Vincent, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
Thank you, Mike.
Are you surprised that Gerry Adams has decided to retire?
No. I'm not. I thought he'd have retired quite a while ago. Maybe 10 years ago he told me he was desperate to get out of it all. He wanted to do other things, and
he doesn't live for it.
I don't know what people live for, what you live for, what I'm not sure what I live for, but I wasn't that surprised.
Will he retire, do you think? Will he actually let it go, walk away, or will he always be the sort of the figure in the background to whom Mary Lou McDonald and Michelle O'Neill will go for reassurance or for advice?
I'm sure they will. I'm sure they'll go to invite for advice. And he's going at a difficult time because there's not many people in Sinn Féin who's had experience in negotiations, the Good Friday Agreement and the St Andrews Agreement and others, and who has experience in negotiating with the unions, particularly the DUP. And he has. I met Simon Coveney and Donald Jerry Buttermer's wedding in Cork at the end of December, and he was telling me that there was a difficulty. Michelle O'Neill wasn't confident enough to make concessions, and he, Simon Coveney, rang Gerry Adams to come up and solve the matter in a few hours, and that skill comes from experience in dealing with all this. So there will be difficulty, but my belief is that he'll hang in for however long it takes to do a deal now with the DUP, and indications are that there's going to be a deal done. And afterwards, I assume that he'll be available for advice and all that. I suspect he'll write, like he's been writing bits of autobiography, 2 books so far, and I assume he'll write another one. And he'll write other stuff. And I assume that he'll go to conferences abroad on peace initiatives and all that.
Probably meet Bertie Ahern, a lot of them. But what about the premature death of Martin McGuinness? Did that influence his decision, do you think, in any way?
I don't know. I don't know.
Because that leaves an enormous void for Sinn Féin.
It
not
does.
Just Gerry Adams, but the fact that it's less than a year since Martin McGuinness died.
Yeah. And there has always been a problem for them in succession, because there was nobody well known north and south except Gerry Adams and Martin McGuinness. And Mary Lou is a very able person, and she's obviously very well known here, and she's got a good reputation here. But she's not well known in the north. Equally, there's nobody in the leadership of the North who's well known in the South. So that has been a problem for them, and will now be a bigger problem for them henceforth.
Malachy O'Doherty recently, when he was here talking about his biography of Gerry Adams, described him as a narcissist. Is that a fair description of Gerry Adams? How concerned do you think is he going to be by how history will judge him?
Well, anybody who's concerned about how history will judge him, there's something wrong with them. And anyway, the idea that history, there is a judgment of history, is a nonsense. Different historians will make different judgments and all of that.
But some people still do worry about how others will perceive them and how they will be remembered.
Do you worry about that?
No, but I'm saying a lot of people do. Particularly
people.
And if he is a narcissist, is it fair to describe Gerry Adams as a narcissist?
No. I haven't been close friend of his or anything like that, but I've known him for about 40 years, and I would have seen him, I don't know how many times, 40, 50 times, and it never crossed my mind that he was a narcissist, ever. And he had social skills that I don't have. I don't know, you've probably honed your social skills quite well, but he has. I'll tell you a story about that. He and I were standing outside in an open air somewhere. I think it was Casement Park or somewhere. And some fella came up that knew Gerry Adams, and Gerry Adams introduced him to me, and the guy said, "Are you the Vincent Brown?" And I stuttered around the place. All the Vincent Browns are the Vincent Browns. And I felt uncomfortable. And then he went away after a while, and Gerry Adams said, "God, you made an awful mess of that." And I said, what should I have done? And he said, you should have said, are you the Matt Cooper or whatever? And of course, he's dead right. But so he has social skills. And that's not a narcissistic yeah. thing to do. And that's not a narcissistic impulse to give respect back. And anyway, that's it.
But you actually were a journalist in Northern Ireland during the 1970s at the height of the Troubles, and that would have been your first time coming across him when he was regarded by many as one of the senior people in the IRA.
He wasn't.
He was regarded by many people, I said.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't. Not. I was in Northern Ireland in the first few years of the Troubles in the early 70s, and I did come across him then in bizarre circumstances. I'll tell you if you like, but...
Please do.
Well, I didn't know this. I didn't know. I'm sorry about this. I didn't have this recollection. In terms of introduced on the 9th of August, I think, of 1971. That's interment without trial, and there was it led to a massive violence in Belfast, and then there was a press conference given by the head of the IRA in Belfast at the time, a guy called Joe Cal. Gerry Adams organised the press conference. And I wasn't at the press conference. And I assume, and this is going on, and I assume that that I sought an interview with Joe Cahill to make up for my not being at the press conference. But in his book, Gerry Adams, in his book Before the Dawn, Gerry Adams tells a story of how that night himself and Joe Cahill were coming to meet me in a place in White Rock. And on their way, they came across open ground and they came under fire from the IRA, who thought they were loyalists coming in to attack nationalists in the Ballymurphy area or the White Rock area. And they nearly got shot. They nearly got killed.
By their own men?
By their own men, yeah.
On the way to meet you?
That's right. Now, I have a recollection of... I was in a house, all right, in White Rock, and I remember Joe Cahill coming in. But I remember if there was any discussion about we were nearly killed out there, I have no recollection of it. I have no recollection of anything other than seeing Joe Cahill there. So those were the circumstances.
But he did become relatively senior quickly, because when there were talks back around 1974, when the Provost's leadership was flown over to Downing Street for talks, he was part of the contingent.
It was. That was at the instigation of Dáil O'Connell, who was second in command of the IRA. And Dáil O'Connell, I got to know him by then and thought highly of him and thought it would be a good idea. I assume the same is true with Martin McGuinness.
Because it does sort of give lie to his contention that he was never a member of the IRA. If he wasn't a member of the IRA, why were they bringing him over for talks with the British in the 1970s?
Well, he has had to tell that lie over the years.
Why? Explain that to people.
Yeah, for two reasons. One is because he could still be prosecuted for membership in a legal organisation and could still be jailed for it. And not many people own up to things that they could be jailed for. Secondly, in his case, he'd probably be inundated with civil suits. And he'd spend the rest of his life fending them off. So it would be a pretty much of a nightmare. There's also, of course, the fact that he's got caught. He denied it ages ago when he had to deny it, and now he can't undeny it.
Okay, how much empathy do you think does he have for loyalists and for unionism? Because I suppose one of the remarkable things about Martin McGuinness was his ability to build relationships with the Paisleys and various others. It doesn't seem to be a skill that Gerry Adams has, or does he?
I don't know. I don't know. He does have those social skills, though. I don't know is the answer. I've never seen him in a setting where he was dealing with unionists. I don't know.
The experience of being shot and nearly dying, what did that do to him? Did that change his political position? Could that explain why it was that he moved from being involved in violence to being one of the main drivers of the peace process?
No. He was involved in the peace process long before he was shooting in Belfast, near the courts in Belfast. He had been involved in several years in that. I think that the hunger strike was a huge thing, that they suddenly saw that Sinn Féin could make significant gains politically. And then he thought they could run the military campaign and the political campaign in common. I assume this was his thought. And Then he found, no, you can't. And also, he began to think, we got to find an end to this because it's a horror show. And this is, I'm guessing now, it's a horror show and it will do us damage in the long term. And we can't continue with these awful atrocities. But he needed to bring a unified or almost unified Republican movement with him, which meant that he had to hang in there and in a sense be part of the killing machine for a while.
To have credibility to in have bringing credibility. Them with, yeah. with him.
And had he not shouldered coffins and defended the IRA during that time, he would have lost the credibility and wouldn't have been able to persuade them to the peace process.
Why do you think is it that so many people still regard him as a pariah and don't give him credit for that?
I suppose because so many of the atrocities were so horrific, and that's one thing, that they're within recent memory is another thing, and that for people down south, this is something distant for them, so they didn't have any investment in what was going on Northern Ireland. But just bear in mind that the War of Independence saw appalling atrocities as well. So alleged informers murdered all over the country by the IRA itself. And the IRA did dreadful things during the War of Independence. And then and in the Civil War, both sides committed appalling atrocities and killed more people in a short period of time than the IRA killed in a period of 25, 30 years.
Did he cooperate with this documentary, which goes out at 9 o'clock tonight and tomorrow night on TV3?
No, he didn't take part, and neither did anyone in Sinn Féin.
Okay. And finally, what about his own personal upbringing? Because this is something you wrote about in the Irish Times at the weekend, that I was fascinated by the fact that his own father was a paedophile, and also his handling of the situation in relation to his brother Liam, who he sort of moved around the place in a way that almost like Catholic priests were moved around by the church.
He didn't move around.
Well, he knew about what was going on, didn't he?
Yeah. There is a big issue there that it seems that he knew that his brother was a paedophile long before the police or the social services in Northern Ireland knew about it. That's a problem. Secondly, he knew that his brother, a paedophile, had access to children in Dundalk and access to children in the Clonadary in Belfast, and he did nothing about it. He could have intervened. He could also, with some force, have advised the brother to get the hell out of there. But of course, where would the brother go? Probably he'd have access to children elsewhere as well. So that is an issue.
You can't imagine any other politician surviving the scandal that engulfed him about that, can you?
I can't. But I also just bear in mind that if you were told around the same time that your brother had sexually abused his daughter and that your father had sexually abused your brother when you were growing up, I think you'd be all over the place. Certainly I would be. And would I handle the situation well? No, I wouldn't. I don't know, but would you? But I don't think I would.
Vincent Brown, it's great seeing you. Thank you very much for coming in and joining us. The programme is on. It's called Gerry Adams, War, Peace and Politics on TV3 tonight at 9 o'clock, again tomorrow evening.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.